And welcome once again to the Liberty Lounge, where we got three white guys in black shirts having a good time. On my left, I am joined by Jared of Guns and Gadgets. Jared, what you doing with your computer there?
I was fixing the glare.
Oh, fixing the glare. And his shirt also says repeal the NFA. I'll tell you who I don't want to repeal is Anthony, the Armed Scholar out in California. Anthony is waving it out. However y'all found us, we're glad that you did. There is a word called Chad, and it has now hit the internet. There's a lot of different, like, remember the hanging Chads? Well, it's another colloquialism of a righteous sort of a jock, maybe a bully, but a tough guy. The Chads were out in force this week at UNC. We got bullcrap going on college campuses. They tried, the B-holes tried to pull down the American flag. A fraternity stepped in. Jared, did you see those guys stop that flag from hitting the ground?
Yeah, it was pretty good to see. We need that to start happening regularly in this country. It was great to see.
Okay, by the time y'all see this, the number will have changed, but there is a GoFundMe called Throw 'em a Rager. How about a kegger or a rager? Throw them a party for the Chads. This fraternity now has coming to it as of the, it's going to grow. 11,000 donations for a total of $377,000. The Chads are out in force. Anthony, do you support Phi or Pi Kappa Phi?
Do I support Chads? Yes. I think it was funny too. You said the Chad just hit the internet. Chad's been a thing for a while, but it's good to know Johnny finally is onto the Chad movement.
Hey, you can't get one by me. I am quick, if nothing else.
No, it's cool. The videos that were coming out of that were fun. Like, people were doing montages of them in the videos and the flag being raised and then the music along with it. That was really cool. I think there are a lot of people are behind them, and it's nice to see at least a counterculture to what we're seeing happening on these universities with the liberal and progressive stuff and all these weird protests that are going on right now, and UCLA and UNC and New York and all these liberal crap holes. But it's good to see we have a new generation stepping up. But even along with that, I don't know if you guys saw that. I saw this. I saw something. There was a couple things going around on like Instagram, and I think it was like some former veteran guys who were trying to crap on those young men about how they're posturing, like they did something amazing. And so it was kind of one of those weird things where when I was reading that, I was like, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because we crap on this young generation for not being patriotic enough and being soft, yada, yada, yada. And then you have this group of young men who stand up for the things that we want them to stand up for. And then we have some groups of people that go and try to crap all over them. So I don't know. I'll try to find that and send it to you guys. But I just thought that was interesting. What do you guys think about like stuff like that that's going around?
From News Nation, it said that these guys endured insults, middle fingers, and flying water bottles, and about a dozen fraternity brothers stood their ground around an American flag at the University of North Carolina. I'm in full support of it. Benny Johnson, one of my favorite pundits, he posted a picture of them yesterday, and he says this, Jared: if America is to be saved, it will be the Chads, as it has ever been and will ever be USA.
100%. What's going on in this country has to be stopped, otherwise we will crumble from within. Case in point, let's go up to Columbia, New York, what happened there when they decided to seize a building because they weren't getting what they wanted.
now they want humanity.
Yeah, and that's part. Their spokeswoman had the gall to say,
don't assume her gender. Yeah. Don't assume her gender.
Well, she's a female, whether she wants to like it or not.
I don't
know.
She doesn't look like it.
But to say, hey, you know what? We want food and water now. And the first question by a reporter when she was making this statement was phenomenal. He's like, so what you're saying is you want to be revolutionaries. You want to take over this building, but now everybody needs to give you food and water. Like, you guys willingly put yourself in that scenario. And she was like, well, it's just, you know, humanitarian aid. And this is an Ivy League campus, but we just need, you know, basically food and water.
She talked really, really well and did that whole kind of like Corinne Jean-Pierre. Can I get a ho-hon? She did the whole thing. Like, she talked like really slick. And I saw that interview and they're like, students are doing this and students are doing that. And students are demanding food and water, basic human rights. And she did the whole dichotomy. Do you want it? Do you want students to be fed or not? She, you know, did the whole thing and try to trick them all into a corner. And I thought, that's pretty slick for a student. Looked her up. She's not a student. She is a teacher. She is a grad teacher. Guess what she teaches, Jared? Any ideas?
Communism.
She literally teaches Marxism. And she's got that bullcrap scarf around her neck. And she's like, give us humanitarian aid. I'm like, take that crap back to the Gaza Strip. Where are the Chads?
So today, Elon Musk tweeted today that any college campus or anybody that raises another country's flag should immediately be given a free yet mandatory trip to that country. I am all for favor of sending all of these students over to the Middle East and see what happens with them. Hopefully they have parachutes because they get thrown off of bridges.
The challenge is Queers for Palestine, and they keep protesting Queers for Palestine, Queers for Palestine. One of my favorite I don't know if we call him a meme lord, but one of my favorite sort of pundits, he is a meme lord. He posted a picture. He goes, hey, why don't we go check in Gaza with what happens to the LGBT, LMNOPQ, plus people. And it was a horrific picture of a gay person being thrown off a building. You can't make this stuff up, Anthony. Queers for Palestine.
Are there any there?
No, it's not Queers in Palestine. American Queers for Palestine.
Yeah, that's the point. It makes no sense. Your whole ideology of the things that you want to support, it's again, you would need a parachute because you would take a very short flight off of a building.
I think it needs to be said too, like, there is not one warring faction in the world that will change what they're doing because of some feelings of some spoiled brats on college campuses in America. It's just not going to happen.
I love it. We talked about it a few episodes ago about that one, and there was more than one, but it was one in Massachusetts where a city council got together and voted unanimously to stand up against the war in Palestine. The new stuff that's hitting today is people have picked up on the fact that 15 years ago, Mel Gibson's just started talking about stuff that was going on. They blackballed him, but now all of Hollywood can go that direction. And it's suddenly cool. We are living in a freaking clown world. Go to class, students. Go to class, get an education. You're on public property. Act like it.
I think it's very weird too. Like we talked a lot about like the upcoming election, and you're seeing more and more weird things like this, like pop up distractions as we're getting closer. But I've seen a lot of, I guess, political commentators are like, hey, you know, for our side, for Republicans, for Trump, you know, this is good because it's more nonsense, shows how stupid these people really are, how they're Marxist ideology is stupid, and if as it bleeds closer and closer to the election, maybe it's going to benefit us. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Like, as it gets, do you think we're going to see more of this nonsense? How long do you think this is going to go on? Do you think it's going to bleed as we get closer and closer to the election? And now we're hearing that like Biden is, I'm all for debating Trump. Like, sure you are, buddy.
Right. Yeah. It's 1,000% going to increase as we get closer to November, without a doubt. 4 years ago, they were trying to burn the country down in mostly peaceful protests, you know, to influence an election, and it worked. And crime is even worse than it was then. So it's only going to get worse. They're going to try to get people to beg for a bigger government. You know, please, daddy, govern me some more. It's only, in my opinion, it's only going to increase.
I got good news. Since we did the show notes to prepare for this show, the Pi Kappa Phi men defending their flag, throw them a rager. GoFundMe is now at $434,000. I'm pumped for these guys. Here's the thing. These Palestinian protesters are full of crap. They are communists and they are death to America. I love the meme that came out yesterday that said the left says that Trump is here to destroy America, yet at all of his rallies, we never hear the words death to America. And I started thinking about that. Who's yelling death to America? These people. The idea of protesting, the idea of a peaceful protest, of a sit-in, of a, hey, we're not putting up with this anymore, is pretty powerful. Somebody needed to step in back in the 60s and say, you know what, it's bull SHI for people of color to sit in the back of the bus. We're gonna fight that. So this idea of taking a sit-in or taking a protest or taking a stance is pretty powerful. It's not unlike 1776. We're gonna go throw your freaking tea in the bay and
Haba.
In the Haba. And I think it's an important, for me, a distinction to say these a-holes chanting for another country have hijacked our techniques. And I see it's a dirty, dirty trick in that a lot of times when you see these sit-ins and things that it's for a righteous or a just cause. This is for pure communism. To answer your question, Anthony, I think it's going to continue. I think the media is feeding it. Here's my question for both of you. Who's paying for this? I saw today a picture of all of these pro-Palestinian signs, and there was hundreds of them lined up outside of a event that was getting ready to take place this afternoon. Who's paying for that?
George Soros.
I'd agree.
He's the one who paid for the stuff last 4 years ago. He's the one who paid for bricks to be delivered. It's him.
I think it's funny, too. Like, I think what is the one in Colombia where they want a disclosure of all the funding that's gone certain places. It's like you're fighting against an institution that's propping up your own ideologies. Like they're Colombia and these super progressive universities are only interested in most, especially right now, protecting the ideologies that you guys like. And then you're attacking them because all of a sudden you found this new cool thing that you want to feel even more against suddenly, and now you're even more woke when it comes to the, you know, anti-Jewish sentiment stuff. And then there's a lot of, I think it was on Instagram, there was like a live that was going on and I saw a reel and I turned it on for like 2 seconds and it's all these college age kids calling for a global antifada. And then I saw another clip when someone pushed them on that, like, you know, what does that mean? You know, are you calling for violence across the globe? And they're like, no, it's not violence. And then it's like clips of every other time that's been called for. It's literally just violence. So I'm worried about where we're going. I have a little bit of hope because we have those young men that are doing the right thing. But to what end? Like, where does this get resolved? Does this just quell for a little bit, and then we see something spring up even more drastic here in 3 or 4 months as we get closer to the election?
Here's something for you guys to go down the rabbit hole. The listeners too. Today I was scrolling, and I should have took a screenshot because I usually do, but somebody found a document where these protests at all these schools, it was scheduled in November. So they knew this was coming. This isn't something that was because of, oh my goodness, we need to stop this funding now.
And they had a play-by-play book that showed them play-by-play with pictures. So to show them exactly what to do and how to do it. This is not an accident. This has been planned since the 60s, the chipping away, communism trying to come into this country. They are doing their very best. What do you got, Jared?
I did take a picture of the playbook, and you know, amongst the pages is how to make a head scarf or head mask out of your t-shirt as to avoid detection.
Well, Alahoot snack bar to each of y'all. Death to whomever.
I saw that too about the face thing. I saw someone was like, and it was someone who I can assume what their gender was originally, and whatever they looked like was grotesque after. But they were pushing it back against the whole like face, like, why are all these people wearing face masks? And like, well, maybe they're wearing face masks because they're worried about their health. Not, and then everybody's like, well, or it could be because they're doing stuff that they don't want to be seen doing. So that's why they have their little COVID diaper still on their face years after what's happened. And we know they do absolutely nothing. And the government has conceded finally it does absolutely nothing. How about we just take like the most logical upfront like reality of like they're hiding their faces.
For the listeners at home, if you go on Instagram, the typical liberal is who put out pictures of this book that was given to somebody at UNC Chapel Hill.
The words of the day, boys and girls, are domestic terrorism. Domestic terrorism. All right, we're going to move from post-secondary to secondary school and elementary school. And this, I think regardless of what state y'all live in, I think you're going to have an opinion on this. I think it matters. But in Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee has now signed into law a bill that passed the House, passed the Senate. He signed it into law that allows teachers to be armed in the classroom in elementary and secondary schools. People are losing their freaking minds all week long, social media has blown up. People are protesting. People are in the streets. People are upset. They think it's going to be the Wild West. So teachers, if they go through the process, they can carry in elementary and secondary schools in Tennessee. Jared, a step in the right direction?
Yeah, I think so, because according to the law, if you read it, rather than just reacting to what Moms Demand Action tells you, they'll actually be better trained than every cop in Tennessee. What do you mean? Well, I've been to several police academies as an instructor, as well as a recruit. And every place in the country, the average is one full week, 40 hours of firearms training. At the end of the week, they qualify. And then every year, they have to qualify again. So you get 40 hours the first year of your career, and then they go back for a day, 8 hours maybe if they get a full day. That's it. These Tennessee teachers will be required to do 80 hours the first year and 40 hours each additional year. And it's got people losing their minds.
Well, they're losing their minds. There's a couple things, and there's a lot of facets, and this is going to be an incomplete list. Like, we're going to hit a few facets here, and we're going to share our opinions, but there's going to be more, because this is not just a left or right. The far right is like, F y'all, Second Amendment, killdozer. We carry what we want when we want. And then the far left is like, ban everything and let's go stand in a bread line with the other good communists. I'm sorry, democratic communism. And it's not that easy. There is a lot to this. And every single headline is saying, Bill Lee passes law to arm teachers. Ain't nobody being armed. Nobody's being armed. The state is not arming teachers. Anthony, what's your knee-jerk reaction? Because I know everybody has an opinion on guns in schools, but what's your knee-jerk to this?
I mean, I'm all for it. And it's funny, those headlines, but the reality is it's just opening the door for the possibility if a teacher wants to be armed, he or she can arm him or herself. If he or she wants to defend those children, they can. They're going to still have to jump through the governmental hoops, and, you know, I don't think that there ever should be any governmental hoops to exercising your fundamental right to protect yourself or others. But, you know, that's the reality. And I'm all for it. And like Jared said, the training requirement, it's always funny. The training requirements, and people, when they talk about, you know, you're not a police officer, so you shouldn't be able to carry a firearm. And, you know, you're going to become more of a liability when the police officers show up there. I know for a fact I have more time behind a handgun and a rifle than probably 98% of the police officers in my immediate area. I go to plenty of training courses. I pay a lot of money to go to training courses. Maybe one or two police officers show up there, and most of the time they are not able to shoot. And that's not to pump myself up. It's just I put a lot of time and effort into firearms training. We all do. We've all been to plenty of courses. We've flown out of state to do some training courses. We travel in state. I buy thousands of rounds. I try to go shoot maybe once or twice every single month with dedicated drills and things like that. And then again, I try to go to three or four actual like multi-day training courses for specific things, rifles and handguns and all that every single year. Your average police officer isn't doing that. My dad was a correctional officer. He had the same police officer requirements that most guys do. They do that initial certification and then they just qual once every quarter. They shoot at like 3, 5, and 7 yards, and you know, as long as you get, I don't know what it is here in California, but it's like 75% of the rounds on the paper, you qualify. It's not even like a certain A zone or anything like that. And it's the same thing of like the CCW requirements. A lot of people think, oh, I qualified under the CCW. I'm an awesome shot. I know. No, that is sometimes the bare minimum skill you need to have. Yeah. And there's responsibility of everybody to be the most efficient shot and know your tools if you're going to carry. Again, do I think that there needs to be governmental restrictions on your ability to do that? No. But we're Americans and we have a responsibility to protect ourselves and others. And if I'm going to be carrying, I want to be the most proficient person I can be when I carry a handgun or a rifle or whatever.
Now, I'm obviously in favor of it as well, because I'd rather have somebody be able to stop that force immediately. But I like to throw stats at people so that they can have all of the knowledge, because people at home might be torn as well. People watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast, they might be torn on this. Let me just give you some statistics. Constitutional carry, 29 states, 58% of this country now have some form of permitless carry where you don't have to beg the government for a permission slip. And not one single state has turned into the wild, wild west, right?
Unfortunately, no.
Right. What if I told you that 34 states or 68% of this country already has some type of law on the books which would have teachers given the option to arm themselves, and not one school has turned into the wild, wild west. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have something happen at a school somewhere, but these teachers are not the ones we need to worry about. It's the criminals we need to worry about. 68% of the country already has this on the books.
Murder is already illegal. Shooting children is already illegal. I had a viewer, I talked about this on my channel today, and I had a viewer that said this, that said the idea of arming teachers is just a last stop. There are so many fail safes in process already, the 4473s, the fact that murder is illegal, et cetera, et cetera. This is just a last unfortunate measure. The thing that's not getting talked about, and you mentioned that they've got to go through 80 hours of training and then 40 every year. They also have to go through a psychological background check, an actual background, criminal background check as well. Then they have to get written. And nobody talks about this, Jared. This is what got me fired up on my channel. Nobody is talking about this at all. They also have to get written permission from the superintendent of their schools. They have to get written permission from the principal and written permission from the chief law enforcement officer of their area.
And each school district can opt out.
That's the other big one, is every school district can say yay or nay to this bill. It puts power in the hands of each district. Obviously, Nashville and Memphis and probably parts of Chattanooga and the blue areas of this state are going to say, no, we don't want guns because signs in front of a school will keep our kids safe. And there will be some red areas where probably, I would imagine, some local businessmen will pay for this training and pay to get these folks armed. Nobody's arming them. These are people that are choosing to exercise their own right. Anthony, it baffles my brain when folks can have their own, have rights. We have the way that we live. I can carry right here where I'm sitting. Jared, I'm sure, is strapped up right now. I'm not. I am trusting in Jared to protect me. And I'm a good little communist. I can carry right now. But when I drive over to my kid's school, as soon as I cross that sidewalk, my rights change. Anthony, how baffling is that, that we have rules over here, but if you cross that imaginary line, the rules change?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like you said, why do rights magically disappear? And we've seen those arguments happen a lot. They used to, the left and the anti-gunners used to always argue also that your right to carry magically disappears once you walk outside the threshold of your home. Even once you go out in public, you don't have a fundamental right to carry a firearm for your protection or others. So that's, you know, that's nothing new. You know, I wasn't super familiar with this Tennessee bill. Call me a radical, but I would say doesn't go far enough if it's giving absolute discretion to the supervisors and the principals and all those things. I think the bill should have just been as simple as like, hey, if a teacher already has a lawful concealed carry in Tennessee, if they can already lawfully carry under Tennessee, they want to carry in school, let them carry in school. Now, I get it that it probably would have been hard to pass that through the state, but you know, when you hear the Evertowns and the Giffords talk about how radical this bill is, I'm already hearing so many hoops that people have to jump through. Like you guys said, it's not they're not telling the reality of what this law really is. There are a lot of hoops that people are going to have to jump through before they can even engage in this, you know, type of conduct that is the door is being opened to.
But feelings, Johnny.
Yeah, it's all about feelings. You got to think about the kids and think about this. I sat down today with a smart, I'm going to call successful businesswoman who also happens to have kids in the school system here. And I said, be really honest with me. We're not going to argue. This was this morning. I said, what do you think? And she said, I know the teachers in our school and I wouldn't want them armed. She said, not all. She said, some of them are amazing. She mentioned this one. They 100% are shepherds of the children. And this one. She said, they're freaking insane. And I said, yeah. And then I started explaining. So she said, I just had these weird feelings about the whole thing. Anybody, not this woman, but anybody who's not comfortable with guns, if you tell them, we got guns in schools, and the answer to that is more guns in schools, they're going to feel weird about it. And so it's not just Second Amendment versus communism. It's a challenge to sit down with people that are just not comfortable. I asked the lady again, I said, well, tell me more. What do you think? And she goes, I don't want some kid to get access to a gun. If the teachers are bringing them in, maybe a kid will pick one up. And then I start talking about the training. And I said, you have a school resource officer. Why are you not worried about his gun getting loose? She goes, I never thought about that. I never thought in a million years that a kid could get a hold of that. I said, yeah, it's responsible. It's the individual's responsibility to take care of their own weapon. I said, however, every teacher every day drives a lethal weapon through the parking lot. And nobody ever talks about that, Jared.
Well, that's because Moms Demand Action isn't it against cars. That's why. And far more people are killed in automobile accidents than guns ever have. It's just something like you, that's the tough thing. We mentioned this last week. Like, how do we have these conversations with people? And like you did today, you have to find that common area. And that's the tough part that Americans, we don't have that skill anymore because everybody, we used to call it no friendo. They're on their phone or they're on a video game. They don't know how to talk to human beings anymore. And we need to foster that skill. And what you did today is commendable.
They say all they want is, you know, just a little bit of common sense gun reform. Give us some common sense gun reform. You and I have a friend that's, I would call anti-gun. And he is a close friend of mine, but he just doesn't understand it at all. And I'm going to say I've shined a little bit of a light here and there. However, I think most folks that are anti-gun or are on the left, and you got to remember the NRA or the NEA, the National Education Association, they are 99.99% blue. And they call for anti-gun this, anti-gun that. They just give us a little, give us common sense. One of my viewers said this today about the Tennessee laws. Remember, 80 hours of training, background check, criminal background check, mental background check. You have to have a thumbs up from the district. You have to have permission from the superintendent, from the principal, and from the chief law enforcement officer. My viewer, Edward, says everything on that list is what the left calls common sense gun control. But by losing their minds over this law, it proves that no gun law will ever be far enough. The left has one goal.
100%. And every one of those common sense gun reforms are all unconstitutional, but they don't want to hear that. That's all an infringement on somebody's right. If I want to defend myself or my community, I don't have to go through a psychological exam. I don't have to beg for forgiveness. It's just, I mean, you keep giving, our side gives, and we keep giving and giving and giving, and we never get anything in return. And that's a losing proposition.
Yeah. My frustration with all this is what, and we kind of talked about it at the top. Why are they losing their minds? We don't see this epidemic of armed teachers creating, you know, causing these atrocities. So what are, I mean, those numbers don't exist. I would implore any every town's rep or anybody to find an incident where an armed teacher, you know, who was meeting all these CCW requirements or state requirements to carry concealed within the school decided one day to just, you know, start shooting up the school. It doesn't exist. Maybe they would find one incident where there was a negligent discharge. Maybe they're using a number like that, but I would even say maybe that is non-existent. And if there is one out there, maybe just one of a negligent discharge that they use as a, you know, they'll coin it again. They're very good at this. They'll say like, oh, an armed teacher shooting at a school, which would probably be like a negligent discharge. Maybe you could find one stat on something like that. So it's just frustrating when you really look and you look at, like Johnny said, the logic behind these things. And when he's having conversation with his friend, you know, who's concerned about, you know, I don't trust all these teachers in my school. The reality probably is that those teachers you're concerned about that you maybe don't think are all there, they're not going to be the ones that are going through all these hoops and spending 80 hours every single year to do their background check and training requirements and filing these letters with the principal and the school boards and all that to carry. They're not going to be the ones. It's going to be those three or four, you know, good people who Chads. Care about those Chads who say, you know what? Yeah, I know it's a pain in the butt, but I'm going to do this for my protection and the protection of the kids.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense to people that have sense. I opened by saying that she's intelligent, which she is, and I texted her back about an hour later. We talked in person, but about an hour later, I texted her. I said, let me just lay it down for you. 40 hours of this, 40 hours of that, all the background, all the thumbs up, all the thumbs down. And she texted back, okay. She said, anybody that would go through that BS, I 100% trust them to be on the right side of the law. And even moreover, it gets, there's even more to this. Nobody's talking about the whole situation. This bill, if it all goes through and all the thumbs up and you get written permission, you still can't carry at sporting events. You can't carry in gymnasiums. You can't carry in auditoriums. You can't carry in tenure hearings. You can't carry in disciplinary hearings anywhere that there's going to be a potential for emotion. Once again, Jared, writing words in books, will that keep kids safe?
Hasn't yet, has it? The answer is no. Eventually, people will get their heads out of their keisters, man. And let's talk about another right, what we talked about that ends at, you know, different dotted lines on a map. Some states have what they call assault weapon bans. Yeah, I know, assault, scary assault weapons, but they're black and they have attachments, so they must be worse than other ones.
We're not talking about women this week.
Yeah, we're not talking about those high capacity women.
Black women with attachments. We're not talking about them. We love them, but we're not talking about them.
Assault weapon bans is back on in the news cycle because mainly the Supreme Court on Monday, they issued, Anthony, six cases for May 16th. So five of them will be for the state of Illinois. One of them is for the state of Maryland. Now, my hope, and I'll bounce this to the armed scholar because he's the lawyer, not me, but there are three outcomes here that are possible anytime the Supreme Court is looking at something in conference. They're either going to decide to take it up, which is issue the writ of certiorari, which means four justices have agreed to take it up. The other options are to GVR, grant certiorari, vacate the lower court's decision, and then remand it back to them to fix it with instructions on what they did wrong. And we don't want that because that happened in the Ninth Circuit 2 years ago, and they're still kicking around cases. And then the third, obviously, is to not issue a cert, to deny the case, in which all of these cases would continue through their paths. So the people who are listening, if that does happen on the 16th, doesn't mean the cases are dead. Counselor, this is you. Go for it.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's a lot. We're talking about six different cases, two different states, two different, completely different procedural postures that are going on right now with these cases. So five of the cases, all of them that come out of Illinois, those are all in an interlocutory posture. Fancy word for they're in a middle stage of the lawsuits. I know, Johnny.
Interlocutory and domestic terrorism brought to you by the Armed Scholar.
Hey, I didn't say domestic terrorism. You did. assault weapon bans. Maybe we could categorize those as domestic terrorism on behalf of some of these legislators. The Illinois cases are all in the interlocutory posture, which means they're middle stage. They're all up for review because of preliminary injunctions. I think in three or four of these cases at the lowest court level in Illinois, in the federal courts, there was a judge there who granted a preliminary injunction, was going to try to put a temporary halt on PICA. The Seventh Circuit three-judge panel stepped in. We had Easterbrook and a bunch of super anti-gun judges on the Seventh Circuit who got rid of that preliminary injunction. Then a bunch of these guys, SAF, FPC, GOA, CRPA, every gun group in the world is a part of one of these five lawsuits coming out of Illinois. They all were asking for the Seventh Circuit en banc panel to review that. Seventh Circuit en banc panel said, nah, we don't want to touch any of these. And so that's why now those five cases are seeking writ of certs, like Jared said, and they're seeking writ of certs for the preliminary injunction aspect of it. Again, a middle stage issue. The Seventh Circuit three-judge panel said that there was going to be no likelihood of success on the merits, which is just one of the factors to determine if a preliminary injunction should be granted. The biggest issue with all of these cases, the Maryland case and the Illinois case, really come on the fact that we have circuit courts right now that are using a standard of analysis, which is the military use test. The Seventh Circuit and the Fourth Circuit have now said, the Fourth Circuit has had this sitting longer because of a prior case called Kobe, but they argue that these AR-15s, semi-automatic rifles, AKs, and the like are so similar to fully automatic rifles like M16s and therefore they are equivalent to the type of rifles that are used in the military, and therefore they fall outside of the protection of the Second Amendment, and they in their own right, this is the argument that they're now putting forward, which is pretty drastic.
That wasn't in Bruin, though, was it?
No. No, none of this is in Bruin. And that's there's so many wrinkles to what is going on now, because you have lower court defiance of Heller and Bruin using the wrong type of analysis, coming up with new tests on their own, saying that these rifles are useful military service. And we've talked about the last podcast, Jared asked Johnny a question. Are semi-automatic AR-15s, the civilian AR-15s, used in the military? The way I even phrased that, no, they're not, because they're a civilian weapon. You know, they're marketed to civilians. They're not full auto. There's not a single military on the planet Earth that uses these for military service. And even this whole discussion we're having right here makes no sense, because the Second Amendment, one of the core aspects of the Second Amendment, is that we have arms available to us to defend ourselves and our nation against tyranny, foreign and domestic. That means that we inherently should have access to some of the most common military grade weapons. Now, I know a lot of people, and then you have the anti-gunners, well, what about nukes? What about yada, yada, yada? There are always exemptions for every single thing. There are wrinkles to things that still need to be flushed out by the Supreme Court and by heavier analysis of like what the intent really is. But we're arguing right now about the most common rifles in the world, in the U.S.
Yeah, and the AK,
they're saying they're not armed.
Agree with that? No, the AK folks wouldn't say that.
Well, yeah, but even those are banned. I mean, those are what are being banned too. So, I mean, when we're talking about the type of rifles that are being banned in Illinois, it's AKs, it's ARs, and any equivalent semi-autos. Maryland is the same type of similar ban. It's been on the books longer than Illinois' PICA. That case has been up to the Supreme Court before, while Bruin was being decided. That was one of those cases that was GVR'd, sent to the Fourth Circuit for reevaluation in light of Bruin. And the Fourth Circuit said, cute, we're not going to do that. They didn't let the three-judge panel review the case. Ended up going to the Fourth Circuit en banc panel. They recently held oral arguments in that case. And if you listen to those arguments, those judges are not going to follow Bruin, Heller, or any of those decisions at all. They're just not going to. And so that's why FBC, SAF, and all the other plaintiffs filed for, it's a different mechanism. It's called a writ of cert before judgment, which essentially just means we have no faith that the lower court is going to look at the Second Amendment. We have no faith that they're going to apply the Supreme Court's precedent. So the Supreme Court just needs to step in now and decide this.
So what's your gut? And then we'll go to Johnny. What's your gut that happens? Do they take one of these cases? Do they tell all of them just to go through their hoops? What do you think?
I think the Illinois cases are unlikely because, again, they're interlocutory. They're on an interlocutory posture right now. And keep in mind with the Illinois cases, twice now already, there have been emergency applications to the Supreme Court for intervention mm-hmm. on PICA. The emergency applications were actually sought before PICA went into effect. And even then, the Supreme Court would not step in. And another wrinkle to the Illinois cases is right now there are expedited hearings happening in all five of those cases before the lower court judge for development of the record, for evidence about what if these type of rifles are even used in the military and additional analysis like that. So I think if I had to put money down on anything, I would say the Illinois cases are going to get punted. They're just going to be denied cert right now. And we're going to have to wait for them to move their way through the lower court again. The Maryland one is intriguing to me because it was GVR'd before. It's a case that's been sitting for a long time now, even before Bruin was kicked down to be reevaluated in light of Bruin. And then you have the Fourth Circuit that would not do the right thing, similar to the Ninth Circuit. It's playing their games, took review of it. The only issue So I think the Bianchi case has a good chance of being reviewed just because of some of the procedural issues and with the influx. When the Supreme Court sees that there are six cases, rifle ban cases in front of them, like at conference, they're going to be like, what is going on? What are these lower courts doing? They're going to look at the Bianchi case. They're going to remember the Bianchi case. They're going to know they send it down GVR. They're going to look at the track of what happened after they remanded, and they're going to see what the Fourth Circuit did. The only issue with that is the Fourth Circuit has heard arguments in this case, and now we're just waiting for the decision. So the Supreme Court really wants to, they can just punt it and say, we're just going to wait for what, see what the Fourth Circuit says, and then we'll deal with it then. We'll deal with it on a traditional writ of cert.
And for those listening at home, PICA is the Protection of Illinois Communities Act and not somebody who eats ice.
I was thinking it was Pico de Gallo, and I am ready for lunch. I tell you, I got good news for everybody today. Today's episode is brought to you by TriStarTrading.com. They got the softest tees in the game. If you want to get guns and gadgets gear, they got it. If you want to get Armed Scholar deal, they got it. We've got a new one that just dropped this week. Do not eat the orange popsicle. It's over at TriStarTrading.com. Softest tees in the game. They got hats, belts, slings, patches, decals, and great news, save 10% with code Liberty. Use code Liberty to save 10%. Jared, how soft are those t-shirts?
Wicked soft.
Wicked soft, they Wicked. Say. All right, we got nonsense going on with credit cards. What is the layperson's, rather than getting into the nuts and the bolts and getting lost in the weeds and dealing with PICO, how about what's going on with the credit card situation, Jared?
We're seeing a large amount of states now jump in. So the anti-gunners on both sides of the aisle, they have struggled because they can't get things past Congress like it's supposed to happen, right? So they're trying, obviously, things administratively with groups like the ATF and the FBI. But what they're also trying to do for gun owners is to figure out who owns what and where do they live and what's your name and why do you need these things? And how do they figure out to do that is by using your credit card information. But
sneaky bastards.
Yeah, shocker. But to their credit, I think it's up to, I want to say it's 16 states now, because we've had three of them passed in the last week. Those states are saying, no, you can't have that information. It is protected information for purchases of firearms and ammunition. Jump in a lake, which is good to see.
I like this guy. His name is Paul Paradise. He owns Paradise Sales in downtown Colorado Springs, Colorado. Can I get a woo?
Woo!
Eventually, yes, I can. We were on with the ha-ha. We were on with the woo, not so much. We're headed to Colorado. This dude, Paul Paradise of Paradise Sales, he's a gun guy and a gun seller. And he said, they've in Colorado have passed that thing. You swipe a credit card, they're going to be tracking you. Guess what the people in Colorado are now doing?
Paying
with cash.
Cold hard cash
on the barrel head. Anthony, is there any end to this nonsense? I've said this 1,000 times that they're not coming down our driveway for their, there'll be a few examples. There'll be a few poster children. They're not coming down the driveway to confiscate guns. They're going to get us from every angle possible.
Not if there's,
yeah. So yeah, they'll be smart if they don't come down certain driveways, especially a lot of our friends. Some of our friends have those contingencies ready for people come rolling down the driveways. They're not always as dumb as they appear to be. They will use every mechanism they have to their disposal. One of the ones is just tracking through credit cards. It's something that's been circulating for a while. We're pretty sure that they're doing it, and they have been doing it for a long time. There's a lot of speculation about actual searchable databases being out there. And I know the government loves to say all the time that they don't have various databases that they can search, but we know that's not true. GOA found that's not true. And Jared could probably go deeper into that. And it's funny enough, I know me and Jared listened to an argument just yesterday or a couple days ago in the Fifth Circuit, and we had some judges talking about how the ATF is most likely keeping databases and searching them also, and they don't have faith. Yeah, that was pretty funny. So yeah, it happens all the time. The anti-gun side, the Evertowns and all of them are really smart. They go after manufacturers all the time as well. They want to get rid of the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, the PLCAA, which gives gun manufacturers some form of immunity as far as being liable for third-party criminal actions. So if Johnny decides he wants to commit an atrocity, someone can't sue Glock because he decided he wanted to suddenly go nutsos, which, you know, I don't know if he's kind of been always little anyways, but so it's something that it's been around for a while. I like that states are trying to put stopgaps against it, but is that really going to stop these companies from doing it? Probably not.
No, and I think the idea of just paying in cash, I mean, that's nice, but that's a workaround. We shouldn't have to work around anything. And once again, I've already said it twice today, that murder is already illegal. So tracking our credit card, that's a big bunch of crap.
Well, and so here's the issue that I'm alluding to. Okay, we say that the credit card companies can't track. Well, even when you're purchasing a firearm, you walk into a gun store, or here in California, if you're purchasing ammunition, you're filling out 4473s and you're filling out other background checks. GOA found out very clearly that they have a searchable database of all that stuff. So what are we really stopping by stopping the credit card tracking when they already have a back-end way that they're not telling us about, that they're tracking this stuff? So
it's the super secret, super secret list.
Yeah. Super, super secret.
Yeah. And so a lot of folks are switching from running into a gun store and purchasing with cash and not even going to the gun store at all. They're going to be doing private sales more and more. However, the ATF, we talked about this two episodes ago, the ATF is now trying to make it super extra illegal to buy guns person to person, and they're chasing that. Good news came out yesterday out of Texas. Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. Can I get a whoop?
Woo!
Ken Paxton out of Yeehaw, Texas. He has now sued the federal government, and there's a lot of people in this lawsuit, including the Attorney General of Kansas, Chris Kobach, and Wes Verdeel, Texas State Director of the Gun Owners of America. He's also a Republican candidate for District 53. They're co-plaintiffs. So the bottom line is the Texas AG and his posse are suing the federal government. And this isn't the first time that Paxton has sued the federal government. He's got multiple cases going on right now to block that rule requiring background checks.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, everything the ATF is doing, they're doing it at the direction of the executive, who right now is Joe Biden, who's doing everything he can. Is it Joe Biden?
Is it though?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, who is it really?
That's a great question for another day. Who's really directing this crap?
What's even interesting beyond that, like who in the administration is really making these calls for the anti-gun policy? Is it like an every town's? Because we know that they have that new executive office of what is that called? The executive office of gun control, whatever.
Prevention craziness. Yeah.
So is it really that every town or Gifford's head that's now an executive office that's directing the ATF? Because they talked about when they made that office, we're going to collaborate with all of our resources and agencies to, you know, better help the community. It's like, is this really what is that what's going on? Is that the real shot caller?
No, it's the anti-gunners bat line, the bat phone, right to Commissioner Biden. This is a new rule that they dropped, just like the rule on frames and receivers, the rule on everything you can possibly imagine, the rule on bump stocks, the rule on anything free. It's unconstitutional. They don't have the ability to make rule changes or make law. Where they can't make law. They're not Congress, right? They can't make rules in violation of the APA. They can't make rules in violation where people can go to jail if they don't follow these rules. They just can't do it. For some reason, they're doing it and they're being allowed to run amok, which is kind of what Joe Biden wants. He wants Americans to like be so overwhelmed with everything going on that he can probably, you know, continue his bastardization of this country for another 4 years. But yeah, it's good to see Ken Paxton sue them again. It's good to see GOA get involved. I know every other group is going to be involved if they haven't filed already. Today have been going crazy, so I haven't been reading a lot today, but I know they're all going to be involved in this. And my hope is that we have yet another judge in the Texas area tell the ATF to piss off.
It is assigned to what's his name? It's not McGlynn. He's the one who I am blanking on his name, but he issued one of
John
the
favorable. Jacob Jingleheimer Smith.
Yeah, that helps a lot, Johnny.
I'm here. I'll be
his
here.
His name always is my name too. but I'm pretty sure it was the district court judge who issued the nationwide pistol brace decision.
Good. So it's in good hands.
When I saw the name, I was like, that is awesome. I was like, thank you. That's a perfect judge. I need to go back and look at it again, but I'm almost positive that's who it was. And I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. But yeah, it's in good hands, and all it's right. in good hands because of Texas and GOA. So
good news coming out of Texas, GOA continuing to shine. I say this all the time. The GOA gets a big thumbs up from me. The three of us are going to be hanging out in August at the GOA's goals convention. We're not paid to say that. We're doing this because we love them. They're doing a good job. They don't fight the entire fight. Each of the organizations have overlapping responsibilities and overlapping emphases. However, they're doing a good job. This exciting one coming out of Texas. All right, I'm going to ask both of y'all what you got going on good. This week, I am going to be heading over the next week up to Valor Ridge and hanging out with Reed Hendricks. He's one of my favorite trainers, and Valor Ridge is a training place. Am I going to be going up and training? Nope, going to be going up and eating pizza and smoking a cigar. Jared, what do you got going on good?
Well, I'm going with you because Reed is a good friend of ours. This week, I don't have a lot scheduled for this week because I've been burning the candle at both ends for too long and it's catching up. So this week I hope to just get some stuff done at the house that I've been neglecting.
Nothing wrong with that. Anthony, if you can take a moment from your cell phone, you millennials and your cell phones, if you can take just a moment, what do you got good going on?
I was looking for the name of the judge. That's how big of a nerd I am because it's bugging me.
Rumpelstiltskin.
My mind is literally thinking about, I just realized the other day that the song about Bingo, there was a farmer who had a dog and Bingo's his name. Bingo's the name of the farmer, not the animals. For when I was a kid growing up, I thought Bingo was the name of every single animal. And it blew my mind.
There was a farmer who had a dog and Bingo was his name. Is it the dog or the farmer?
It's the farmer, allegedly.
It's the farmer, allegedly.
This week I don't have a lot going on like Jared. Thankfully this week is pretty calm, but after this week, seems like every weekend I got something going on. I'm traveling almost two or three times every month coming up. We got a lot of trips coming up. I'm gonna be out there in Nashville. The boys are gonna be together in Nashville. Do you guys want to just announce it now what we have coming on? Because it's
lit it out of the bag, baby. All right.
In 2 weeks now from us filming this, we're going to be in Nashville. We're going to be heading down to the TRX Arms facility, and we're going to be hanging out with the guys over at TRX Arms, and we're going to be doing an interview with Lucas and his brother Isaac and probably the guys over at TRX Arms. We're going to be on their podcast. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've met Lucas a couple times. Everybody's got their feelings about Lucas, and everybody's got their feelings about everybody. But we're excited about that. And it's also gonna be fun to go down to Nashville and hang out with the guys. And they're going to probably try to get me to stay in Nashville, and we'll see.
Let's hope your wife listens, because he ain't coming home.
The Lord is speaking to Anthony. Hey, however y'all found us, we're glad that you did. We call it the Liberty Lounge Podcast, where we talk about firearms, freedom, and all sorts of fun stuff. On behalf of the Arms Scholar and Guns and Gadgets, Jared, I'm Johnny B. And we'll see you soon.
Bingo was his name-o.